Well, Father, there's joy in the atmosphere. Whether we feel it or not, there's joy in the atmosphere. And your angelic hosts are really enjoying themselves because they see what is happening upon the earth. And they're excited, Father, because they know the great part they're going to hold in it. Now, Father God, let us be just as excited because of the great part we're going to play in this. And let us understand it. You are going to do exactly what you said you was going to do. Maybe more, but not less. And we're just going to rejoice and watch you move. Amen. But what I was seeing was a line, and the angels were like looking down. And then I heard that, so I just said that. That's why I pray. How many of you can say that you're still going through? But at least we're going through. But about the time you think, well, this is about ended, then it gets tougher, right? But we're still going through. So, God used to tell me, you're not the only one in the boat. So don't feel like you're the only one in the boat. We're all in there together. And we're all fighting the same devil. And we all have the same Father. Tonight I want to teach on Are You Teachable? There's a lot going on right now. We are all experiencing difficult times. It seems like we get one situation under control and nothing, and another one pops up before we can catch our breath. These circumstances and situations are causing us to be strengthened and changed in different ways. We have to remember that these circumstances and situations are causing us to be strengthened and changed in different areas. We are also developing a new level of faith and trust. The High Court has ordered a workout session for us to attend, and the results will be amazing. God keeps saying, come up into the courtroom of heaven, come up into the courtroom of heaven. And, you know, I hope that we're each listening to what God says as we pray. We have been in God's boot camp, and it is because He loves us that He enrolled us. God has been working all things after the counsel of His own will. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God has been grooming, preparing, and aligning us for the days we are facing right now. We didn't realize that when we were going through, we didn't realize how bad it was going to be. And sometimes we fussed about that the testing was so hard. But God had to strengthen us and get us ready for what even still lies ahead of us. Are you losing your head? Do I know my limitations? Psalm 119:73. Your hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. This is something we each have to remind ourselves every day. God's hands made us and fashioned us into what He wants us to be. We didn't do it ourselves. All right? And this is where we get mixed up. We just think we're just making, you know, we've done all that and we haven't. God did it. We figure out our mother and father did. They didn't. You know, God did. The psalmist looks to the Lord as teacher because he is his creator. He knows his dependence is on the limitless one. Do you know what you depend upon? Do you know that you depend on God and God alone? I don't know about you, but I don't depend on any individual. I love you as a brother and sister. I need you there beside me, but I don't depend on you. It is God has the ultimate answer for all things. And we as human beings were too busy wanting somebody else to give us answers. And only God has the correct answer. Only God knows what he's taking you through, and only God knows what you're really going through. We might say what we're going through, but we don't tell the depth of what we're going through. But that the depth is what God is in. He's down there with us, you know, encouraging us and bringing us forth. Don't you believe that? Because otherwise, how could we? We wouldn't make it. Well, pride seeks knowledge to evaluate what is true. A posture of humility asks God for his wisdom and receives understanding with gratitude. We, as human beings, want to know all things and think that we are in control of our kids and our money and everything else, and we're really not. That's prideful. And God is trying to get that pride out of us and rely on him. And only him. Let's face it, we are not going to figure the future out on our own, no matter how gifted we may be. Jesus is our head. He is an excellent leader, and we must follow him closely if we are to stay in peace and be free of confusion. Do you understand that the church really, truly still is not sidling up to Jesus? They're falling away from Jesus. When everything is coming down the road, instead of them leaning to Jesus, crying out to Jesus, they're just quitting church and going into the world, which is the wrong thing to do. It's not time to walk in the light of our own counsel. We need Jesus to continue to lead us, guide us, and be our head. Come on, say amen. Thank you. We will always see in part, prophesy in part, and we will always be dependent on the one who loves us the most, excuse me, to keep us and instruct us all the days of our lives. The older I get, the more I realize I didn't even do a good job of bringing my own self up in the latter years. And so I'm sure not going to lean on my own understanding in these later years. So I want you young people to understand that right now. Get wisdom right now. Don't wait till you're in your latter years. Get wisdom right now and know that only God can lead you in the right way. And you just have to die out to your flesh. Excuse me. We will always, okay, Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, think on him and he will direct your footsteps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, think on him and he will direct your steps. All means all. We must continue to understand things from his perspective. Otherwise, we will become anxious, critical, and full of fear, which results in torment. I'm watching people right now who God brought into the house of God, and they didn't want him. And I'm watching them suffer at the hands of the enemy. Because God said they didn't want me, now I'm rejecting them. It's one problem after another. No place to look for peace. When they were at least in the house of God trying to do God's will, he was keeping them. But once you say, I don't want you, and you reject him, he walks away from you. And then you're on your own. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. And I'm hoping that some of you are realizing that too. You know, that when you reject God, he rejects you. In other words, the Holy Spirit steps aside, lets you do whatever you want to do, and the consequences are not good. And God said, nothing they ever touch will prosper. And I'm watching that. Everything is being taken away. I weep over the body of Christ because that is going on in the whole body of Christ. Because we sit in the house of God and we are not accepting him in all of his fullness. So God cannot give you all of his fullness. If you want all of God, you're going to have to give him all of you. God said he would keep us in perfect peace when we keep our minds on him. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Question, are you losing your mind? Some days I think so, don't you all? If you don't ever think that, that's great. Then that you're not being fought as hard as some of us are. It is important to lose your mind and take Christ's mind. All right. Turn off all these gears up here and just say, God, I want the mind of Christ. In Isaiah 55:8, he told us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. Philippians 2:5 says, let us this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How many of you have sat and said, well, you're right, God. Your thoughts are not like my thoughts because I wouldn't have done it that way. You know, and I have fun talking to God because, you know, he wants you to do that. I'm honest with God. I sure wouldn't have figured it out that way, God. Or sometimes I think my way would have been better. But my thoughts are not his thoughts. Just like a parent. Kids don't understand why you do what you do. And I tell them, one day you will when you get older. So just please trust me and know what I'm doing and go ahead and listen. And this is what God is saying. We're little children. Please trust him. Come to us as a little child and know that he knows what he's doing. Well then, what is Christ thinking? For one, he is not thinking fear. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. A lot of us don't believe that yet. Cheer up, take courage. I have overcome the world. Cheer up, take courage. I have overcome the world. Get that in your spirit. You know, it's hard to believe that when you look at all the circumstances around about you and what's going on in the world. That's why God says, don't look at the circumstance. You know, but we're going to be honest and say it is hard, isn't it? It's really hard to do these things that God is telling us to do. But if we're going to make it, we have to do what God's telling us to do. You know, I'm not used to think everything was easy. Well, as life goes on, it gets harder. Why? Because the end of the age is coming to an end, and the enemy has speeded up everything that he's doing, and he's just throwing his last shots before he gets his last shot. And we are the ones down here dealing with that. Now, I do sometimes think, God, this is really hard. But I have to get my act together because I have to deal with somebody who doesn't know what I know. And I have to be able to truly, honestly encourage them. So before I want to do that, I want to make sure I have my act together. And I do that by sitting and talking to the Father. Reasoning, you know, he's reasoning with me and he's explaining things to me. And if you don't ever do that, how are you ever going to know that you know the truth? You know? Because the world has a lot of good questions. And, if he's such a good God, why does this happen and why does that happen? You're going to have to know the answers to that. Sometimes my answer is, I'm not going to argue the Bible. That means I don't know how to answer them. You know, but they can wear you out arguing with you about the Bible. All right. Even in the midst of uncertainty, the church is headed for her finest hour, which we know. We are watching a very confused, misguided, and fearful world seek for answers, and God is going to use us in ways beyond our imagination. Let's list some of his thoughts according to Philippians 2. But before I go there, even in the midst of uncertainty, the church is headed for her finest hour, which we know we are. But before we get there, we are in one of the worst battles that I've ever been in my walk with the Father. Things are being thrown at us that we've never, ever been in contact with before. And so, I don't know about you, but I have to really study some of the things that's coming at us and find out why they're coming at us and where they're, we all know it's from the devil, but why is this being allowed? I just don't let things slip through my head. I sit and think about these things so that I have some answers for people. And whenever people say, well, you know, things are so tough. Yeah, they are. But, you know, we're going to soon have a food shortage. But God made a way for Joseph to feed the people in a food shortage. He's speaking to some people how to be able to feed us when there's a food shortage. God said he would do it. You know, so you need to be thinking about this. It's not wrong to think about all these things. You have to have wisdom. You know, you just can't walk around with your head in the sand thinking everything's going to be taken care of. God wants you to use you, to talk to you, to give you some revelation. All right, let's list some of the things in Philippians 2. It says, number one, be like-minded, having the same love, being in one in the spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. This is the way we should be acting. Then how's your love for life? Jesus said, John 13:35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. How are you doing? How are we doing on this? Are we passing our test? And I don't. How about you? Is your love walk being tested right now more than it's ever been tested in your walk with God? I mean, every issue that can come up to cause you not to love is coming up. And sometimes even old thoughts will pop into your head. Where'd that thing come from? And, you know, and you have to fight all of this stuff in order to secure your love walk. And let's not pretend it doesn't happen anymore. Let's get real. It does happen. We do have a hard time loving, and God knew we would. But we love because God tells us to. But it might not come instantly. You might have to go in and get on your knees and smack your head against a wall or something and get your act together and then love. But we have to do it. See, we're so used to denying everything that we say, I don't have those feelings. I don't have those emotions. This isn't happening. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We just keep burying it and burying it and burying it, and one day it explodes. So I'm not. Don't think that you lost your salvation just because you can't do what God's told you to do at that moment. But you have to work to do it because God said he made a way of escape for everything. All right. Oh, where am I at now? I heard someone say, if you want to pass all of your love tests, then join church. Your love would be tested in church like you wouldn't believe. When situations are beyond our control and we are anxious and fearful, it is easy to jump off the love ship and embrace an attitude of every man for himself. it's very easy to say too, well, Jesus got angry, but he got angry when he was in the temple. But God said, be angry and sin not. Let's not make excuses why we shouldn't keep in our love walk. It is called a survivor mentality when we say an embrace an attitude of every man for himself. It's called a survival mentality, but such an attitude will not teach us to love. And right now, from what I'm hearing, people say marriages are being fought in that area. Relationships are being fought in that area. Satan knows if he gets your love walk, you're finished. Because you have to walk in love in order for God to use you. And every one of us sitting in here tonight, we have that little thorn in the flesh over here that it's really hard to love. And so we hold them up in prayer and try not to think, kill them, Lord. You know, while we're doing it. I mean, honest, right? I mean, it's if you're not there, that's wonderful. Stay wherever you're at. But I've loved all my life, but all of a sudden in the last couple of years, you know, I'm having a hard time with that, and I'm being honest about it. And I have to push through and push through and push through. So, but I'm not, God hasn't left me. And I'm not losing my salvation. I'm just a human being that has emotions. I told that to somebody the other day. I have emotions too. I have feelings. Just because I follow God doesn't say I don't have no emotions. I do. And right now you're pushing them. You know? I mean, you know, watch what people do to you. That's what it's all about. You don't have to say stand there and back down just because you didn't agree with what they said and tell them they're all, you know, all that and then some. Be honest with them. You know, you're not where you should be, and you're pushing my emotions right now. And like I said, I have found out after 80-some years that the heart can only stand so much pain. I wouldn't have told you that even 10 years ago, but I have realized that a heart can only stand so much pain, and then it has to do something. Has to admit that the people you're dealing with just don't care. And no matter what you do for them, they just don't care. They have no respect for you. And that's even in the house of God. And you have to admit to that and then come to grips with it and work it out with God. And you find out you can still love them. But like I said, you don't have to go to dinner with them. But you just still love them and pray for them. You don't talk about them, all right? Let's just start being honest. If we run from our hard times, we will not learn how to navigate through them and to the end, and we will face the same situation again down the road. I always ran from my hard times. If I don't face it, it'll go away, was my philosophy. It never went away. In fact, I'm paying for that price right now. So when you come up against something, face it, get it out in the open, talk about it, scream about it, do whatever you have to do about it, but get it out in the open and don't bury it ever again. I'm here to tell you, it does not go away. It always is there. All right, love never fails, but we have to stay in it for it to never fail. That's hard. That's hard, but we can do it. God said, love your enemies. That is, right now, I'm being honest, right now, I'm finding it very hard to love my enemy. I want to knock him in the head. But I have to say, devil, you're not winning this battle. I'm a love sponge by faith. You know, come on. We all go through these times. And, you know, and when we keep denying that we have these feelings, then we're just pushing everything down. I give it to God. I said, God, here I am again. And my love sponge went dry. So you're just going to have to reinforce me again. And he does. Next day I can be decent and civil. Forget what went on the day before. All right, we can ask ourselves these questions. One, do I love my enemies? Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Do you know how often I stand on that scripture? He rains on the good and the evil. You have to. You just have to. Because we can't help anybody if we're all good and we stick all evil over here. We have to be intermingled. And then when God's blessing you, they get blessed too. And see, the problem comes in when you don't want to be blessed. But if you're honest, if they see how they're only being, they know what they are. A simple person knows what they are. And if they see they're being blessed just because of you, they have to admit that, you know. So don't be upset because they get blessed. Number two, do I do good and pray for those who hate me? In Luke 6:27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. I can do the blessing and the praying sometimes, but not the loving. You don't have to work through that. Yeah, I'm being honest. All right, I'll pray for him, Father, but I'm having a hard time in the love area. And eventually, you know, it straightens itself out. Number three, when my enemy is hungry, do I feed him and give him water? Proverbs 25:21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Just lately, I was thinking every time something was cooked in the house, I didn't want to feed my enemies anymore. I'm being honest. I really went through that just a couple weeks ago. Lord, that's my food. They don't pay for it. They're always eating my food. Anyhow, I got my act together, and I went and bought them more food to eat just to show the devil that I wasn't going to be upset about all that. All right, the fourth thing, do I pray for my leaders or judge and criticize them? 1 Timothy 2:1-2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. Why? That he may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Most of us have somebody in authority we would rather not pray for, but God said we have to. The authority figure might be your mother or your father. You know what I'm saying? It's all kind of authority figures. This one results with the promise of a quiet, peaceful life. Doing things God's way attracts his attention, and he can and will consider us for greater things in the days to come. That's important. That really is important. Proven character results in hope, and hope will not disappoint us because the love of God is poured out in our heart. In Romans 5:4, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Well, perseverance produces character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Class has been in session for quite a few years now with us. But I read something where somebody said, what's wrong with America is they're out of hope. And I never thought of it that way. They can't trust in anything or anybody. So we, as a body of Christ, we have to stay in hope and stay in the right frame of mind. So when we're around these people, it will go on to them. If they see you walking in hope, well, they say, well, you know, they know you have problems, but still know you're walking in hope and faith, then, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And this is the way we're supposed to walk this thing out. You're all looking at me like, yeah, but that's the way it works. I told you it wasn't easy. Another really important point right now is, have you been teachable? When we embrace a know-it-all attitude, then pride causes us to be resisted by God and will delay and possibly abort God's plan to use us. I've had a few people over the years in Lighthouse Church, God said, they're unteachable. You can't do anything more for them. I'm going to move them out. He will move people out of your lives that's unteachable, or he will tell you just to leave them alone. Psalm 119 is a teach me psalm. David was asking God to teach him so he could walk in truth. That would mean that David didn't know how to do things on his own. Teach me, O Lord, show me the way that you would have me to go. I don't know about you, but that's been a constant cry of mine right now. Because I really don't know what God's doing. I don't know what my next footstep's supposed to be. So I have to rely totally and completely on God. And if you're not there, well, you'll get there. God will teach us when we seek Him with all our heart. In that place, we can let go of walking in the light of our own counsel and release people who have and release people who have hurt us. Do I believe God can change me? Psalms 119:33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. You know, whenever it says there, it will be able to release people who have hurt us. You've always heard me say that I love my father. He was a perfect father. And for some reason or other, I've been seeing his life. He was not a perfect father, and he didn't love me. But I believed it all my life. And when that reality hit me, I was hurt. I believed a lie all my life. And I had to take that to God and to be able to release him. And I never felt aught against it. I don't know why God let me. He just revealed everything that was done and showed me he really didn't love me. But I'm glad I was dumb. And thought that all my life, because it helped me thinking I had a loving earthly father. It really did. And when he corrected me, it wasn't to correct me. He was correcting me out of anger. And he was abusing me. And I always thought I just needed to learn something. I did it now. I learned I was abused. But at the point when he was doing that, you know, I just really thought I did something wrong and had to be taught something. So I'm fine with it now, but I had to work through that for a day or two. You know, my philosophy is I don't really hold anything against my parents because I'm not dead yet. And I don't know what I'm going to do to my kids before I die or they die. So judge not lest ye be judged. You know, I don't know what they were going through. Well, I do, but, you know, you really don't. You don't know why they did what they did, unless God shows you. Sometimes we harden our heart to instruction because we lack faith that God can change our desires to do His will. We forget that God has promised to give us both His instruction and the power to carry it out. And that's in Jude 24. The Father purposes that through His teaching, we may grow and learn to reflect the glory of His Son, Jesus, and His purposes always coming to pass. You know, when I wrote that, I was thinking about Jesus always went to the mountain, every day went to the mountain. How much hurt did He take to the mountain? You know, He was rejected everywhere He went. They spit on Him, they made fun of Him, you know, they called Him all kind of names. Every day of his life. It was short, only 33 years, but from 8 years on up, that's what he lived. And so that's what he took to the Father, the hurt of the day, to get rid of that hurt so he didn't have to carry it into tomorrow. He had to be free to minister without any hindrances. I mean, that's my interpretation of it anyhow. Even when he was going to go to the cross, he went alone to pray, cried out to the Father. Healing is present when we position ourselves before the one who can put us back together. What have I learned from my previous lessons? Is a question to you. Psalm 119:71. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Sometimes we say that with cheek and tongue. I mean, tongue in cheek, right? One sign of being teachable is the passing of a test. The good student appreciates tests because he knows they reveal evidence of growth and the need for further growth. That's the truth. Do I admit when I'm wrong? Psalm 119. This is really hard for some people. Psalm 119:29. But put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. In verse 26, the psalmist says, when I told you of my ways, you answered me. And then says in verse 29, put false ways far away from me. He has opened his heart to the Lord honestly, confessing, and now that the Lord has answered him, he is looking for correction from what is false within him. And see, this is what God does to us. He wants to correct the false things in us so that all we have in us is truth, and all that will come out is truth. And, you know, if I was being married, I wouldn't want to marry anybody that's holding something back from me. Because we start out that way, your whole life will be, I know what I'm talking about. Your whole marriage will be that way. Because that lie was never taken care of before. All right? And the person carrying the lie keeps burying it, hoping it never surfaces and gets them in trouble. All right, forgiveness is not optional. No, that I missed something, didn't I? Some find it hard to admit when they are wrong, but it's vital to embrace your limited capacity and value what is right and true over what made sense to you in the past. Okay, you guys, you've been out on the streets on drugs and stuff like that, in bars. What made sense to you then is not true today. It wasn't true then either, but that's what you thought. It's not true today. So if you're going to be a true Christian, leading others to Christ, then you're going to have to realize, hey, that was no good, and I have to get rid of all of it, and I have to follow God in the truth. Forgiveness is not optional. God is a good God of justice, and he is well able to deal with people and situations that have caused us pain. You have experience. I want you to know that. Please get it in your heart. When somebody keeps hurting you over and over and over again, always keep in mind, God will vindicate me. God will vindicate me. But don't be possessed by that. He might not vindicate you till you die. But he will vindicate you. Don't try to vindicate yourself. It never works. I learned that very young in life. Let God do the vindication. He knows how to do it right. Forgiveness is freedom. Attitude has always determined altitude, and this will never change. The world is watching. They are looking for a demonstration of a Jesus they can also follow. How we represent him in dark days screams volumes to people seeking answers. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. God spoke that to me many times. We are challenged to consider our ways. Not somebody else's ways. This is about you and what you are going through. This is about things that you have to deal with for yourself. And you have to, if you're really going to be a true disciple of God, you're going to have to change you. You can't change anybody else. And if you want them changed, then hold them up before God in prayer. But you need to change you. Be happy with yourself. We are challenged to consider our ways. The first chapter of Haggai talks about shifting our conduct so we can succeed. There are uncertain days ahead for sure, but God is still in control. He is seeking to raise up a church that looks and acts like He does. We are going to experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit like we never have before. Now, this is why God's trying to clean us up. But God will always look on the heart. We can do all kinds of things for Him, but in the end, the question will be, have we forgotten our first love? God is for us, with us, and is well able to help us run the race and win the prize. God has been trying to change us into His image. What have you allowed Him to change? You know, just not too long ago, you know, a whole lot of things were going on, and I went nice that day. And I went before God, and I said, I'm so sorry that I'm not a vessel of honor unto you. And He, in all of a sudden, He says, daughter, you're fine. I've seen the circumstances. I know the situation, and you did not embarrass me. You know, so if you do something you think you embarrass God, take it to Him and see what He has to say about it. Because Jesus only let them push Him so far. All right, and then He blew up. Am I a servant? The last thing here, Psalm 119:124. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. David was saying, deal with him according to his purpose. There is a remarkable tie in Psalm 119 between the psalmist's desire to be taught and his identity as the Lord's servant. The sum of the law of God is love, love for God and neighbor, while the ultimate expression of love is death to self for the benefit of someone else. That's what we have to do. When we die to ourselves, it isn't for us really. It's to benefit someone else. Everything we do really isn't for our benefit in the end. It's for somebody else's benefit. The more we grow in knowledge of the Lord, the more we will seek to serve others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. As an apprentice serves alongside the master, as a trade is taught, so we learn by doing, and as servants of Christ, we seek to join in the Father's work. Psalm 119:102, He is my help and my salvation, and His Spirit gives me hope that my soul will one day say, I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. See that? Are you teachable, or are you still making excuses to why you do what you do, what you're doing? We are called to do great exploit, but this will only happen as we allow God to change us from glory to glory. I watch the body of Christ, and I do not see an agape love walk going on. I still see the body of Christ backbiting, seeking revenge on their conceived enemy, their brother or sister in the Lord. I'm not pleased with what I see, and I admonish you to keep in mind the words of Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. I'm not pleased with what I see, and I don't believe God is either. God said, many of my children do not believe nor understand the words in Luke 13:28. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east, the west, from the north, the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. God has said that a couple times in this church. Proverbs 17:9, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. In other words, if you know something about somebody, you go around blabbing it to everybody just to be a gossiper, not to help them, then you separate friends. Love covers a multitude of sins, 1 Peter 4:7-8. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. God said, where is my true church? What is she up to? Why can she not see the error of her ways? Does she not know that I am for her and not against her? Woe, woe, woe for all those who have become unteachable. As I was reading this, you know, I thought about, I'm just going to, with Brett and Nancy, you know, we all heard their prophecies that one day they would be like one. So everything God spoke then, we knew they were having a problem. If you didn't, you're a dumbbell. All right, so then all of a sudden what they did was they decided, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk. Tell me if I'm wrong. We're going to sit down and talk. I'm going to admit my fault. I'm going to admit my faults. And we're not going to talk about each other's faults. We're just going to say, this is where I come up short. And then they started afresh and anew. And you're doing great, right? They're doing really good. But they had to sit down and talk. Not about, well, you do this, you do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. No, this is where I'm coming up short in this marriage, and this is where I'm coming up short in this marriage. And then they met in the middle, and it's wonderful. And I was looking at Brenda and whoever he is, Merlin. I knew it. You know, I know that Brenda has a bad heart, but God's healing it. But what if, just say Merlin wasn't the loving husband he should be one day, and she passed. He would live with that regret for the rest of his life, that he didn't, that he was not nice to her that day. I just used your example. I know you don't mind. All right, so, you know, I was upset with my father for years after I sort of figured out what he was doing, And when he died, I went to see him because we were on good terms. But I left to come back to Delaware. And I got a message halfway home here that Daddy wanted to see me right away. Please turn around and come back. I wouldn't do that. And my brother said, Daddy had on for 3 days waiting for you. He called me every day. He had something so very important he wanted to tell you. But I never went back, and it hounds me to this day. What was my father going to tell me? Was he going to tell me about something that God showed him because he was having angelic visitations? Or did he want to clear his heart and tell me he was sorry? That's what I'm saying. You know, make it right while they're alive. And the same way with my grandfather. He was one of the men that molested children. And he tried to do that on me. And so when he died, he said, please, they called me Jimmy, please call Jimmy and tell her to come quickly before I pass. I have to talk to her. Now, I don't know what and I wouldn't go. And to this day, I wonder what he wanted to say to me. See what I'm saying? Let's not hold on to things like that. I didn't know what I know now. I wasn't born again. I was just a Christian. But I'm telling you, you'll regret it down the line. And it'll be something that'll plague you. You try to let go, but it's always there. So let's love one another while we're alive. Let's forgive one another while we're alive. And let's not have any regrets in the future. God is saying some of your love has grown stale. And he wants to refresh your love walk. And whenever he does it, that doesn't mean you're not going to be upset at times and lose your love for a day. But he would really like to give you an anointing where it won't be so easy to lose it. He's going to give you a gifting that will cause you to be able to love the unlovable. And God can do that. He's done that to me twice. He can give you a love for people that they do all kind of rotten things to you, and there's no way you cannot love them. That's because God has put a love in you, and this is what God wants to do tonight. He wants to give you that agape love, that no matter what they do to you, they can't take your love away. So the altar's open. I know you had a hard time staying awake tonight. There was just a slumber atmosphere in here tonight. But this was important that you hear this.